pedestrians a buffer with the bikes on. And then a little bit later, you don't have to do it all at once, you put in the island, making it that much safer for crossing, plus the painted strips. Here's another type of road. This is one of those suburban curved roads that move really fast. It's going to be hard to cross that road, but you can improve things by putting that crosswalk in there, putting a little island in there, and then later on, road plantings and everything like that, make it slow down the cars by giving them a visual signal to slow down. So, road diets in the state of Minnesota were done during regular resurfacings. They had cost savings immediately from less asphalt, less surface area for plowing. And in a study they did after a couple of years of implementing the road diet, they found that crash reductions, 37.3%, 54.3%, right there, that alone is reason enough to do it. And the overall total crash reduction was 44.2%. So it made things safer, it made things cheaper. This chart is just something to make your heart skip a beat. All that red there is state and federal contributions to infrastructure development and repair. In other words, they're not going to give cities much money to take care of their roads and streets anymore. So if you can't make it cheaper, if you can't find a way to make those roads narrower and pay for themselves a little bit better, you're going to have a problem when it gets redder and redder and redder. That's why states like Minnesota and other states have started narrowing their roads, doing road diets. There is a return on investment in walkability. President and CEO of CEOs for Cities says that redeveloping for walkability will not only enhance the local tax base, will also contribute to individual wealth by increasing the value of what is, for most people, their biggest asset, and that is, of course, their house. Housing values go up in areas where your walk score increases. Now, the walk score is the thing you go online, put in your address, it'll tell you what amount of things you can walk to, assets that are close by. A good walk score might be something like 75 to 80. A walk score like I have is something like 5 or 6, because there's no assets nearby that you can walk to, or there's major streets that you can't get through. Realtors now, when they sell houses, they put the walk score on the sell sheet, and they found there's an increase of value ranging from $700 to $3,000, depending on the market, based on how high your walk score is. Complete Streets, this is the national coalition and support website. This is the national one. Wisconsin has one. It's something that states and cities can join. They have sample ordinances that you can work from. They have people who can come out and talk to people and teach you best practices. It has wide acceptance. It provides non-obtrusive streamlined guidelines for developers, and that's important because the metaphor I've used for this is you don't want to give more regulations to developers when they're trying to build in your city. But at the same time, you want to give them a clear path to do the best work they can, the best that works within the city's plan. If you build a playground, and they've done studies that show this, you build a playground, it's one square block of grass, and there's cement all around it, and you tell the kids, don't go on the cement, and if you go on the cement, we're going to have to punish you. What you'll find is 5 or 6 kids will go out on the cement, you got to punish them. But if you look at where all the kids go, they all go in the middle of that big green square because it's not clear to them. Now, if you put a fence around there, and it's a fence you could walk right over, or it's just a visual line around that green patch, you'll find not only do they not go on the cement so much, but they use that entire green area very well. They make better use of their area. So if you can provide a streamlined guideline for developers and builders and commercial people who are interested in coming to town, they will make better use of the space that they're given. Going backwards. It's consistent with engineering standards and requirements, so we don't have to teach Jack Bennett anything. He knows all this stuff. These are things that the engineering community have already endorsed. They've already been talking about. It increases value of homes and businesses in places that Complete Streets and walkability is instituted. And the 29% reduction in total crashes per mile with road diets doesn't hurt either. It's inexpensive to implement, and it actually saves money in the long term. And it's promotable as a positive city selling point. If you, we in Franklin are a tree city community. We use that on our signs and on our website. We could also be a complete street community. We could be a walkable community. We could be a multi-use commercial community, and we can promote that. So the proposal is this. We have right now a Franklin Trails Committee, which I think has worked very hard to widen the knowledge of walkability and connectivity issues. We've helped to get some pathways in and hopefully got the ball rolling towards getting Pleasant Valley and Mary, which was our target area, more accessible to kids to walk. We're also working on getting Sendix accessible to the different subdivisions nearby. What we'd like to do in the future is widen our scope and change the name to another special event, Franklin Complete Streets and Connectivity Committee. And what would the Franklin Complete Streets and Connectivity Committee do? It would do the following. Stage one is a discussion and input gathering stage. And for this stage, those are all people down there, because I wasn't done with this thing. The last minute I had to draw this stuff in all myself. We bring together parks people from the parks department, school district, planning, engineering, the differently abled, elderly, police and fire, realtors, commercial builders. We bring them all together in a room. They all talk. We bring people in from out of town to show them presentations, why are complete streets a good thing, what are some challenges, what are some expenses you might face, what are some savings you might see. And based on that, we then compile a report, smaller group of people. This would be more of a size of the Trails Committee. Now you've got a bunch of people who are going to get together, and they're going to make charts and graphs, and they're going to look at the input they got from all those different constituencies out there. How do the elderly feel about being able to get from place to place? Can kids get from place to place? And then they take that, and they try to construct, at long last, an ordinance. That little piece of paper, that's an ordinance. And the ordinance isn't very big. An ordinance can be one page, two page, three pages long. And all it is it gives the city, the plan commission, whomever it is, whatever stage we want to put it at, a complete and front-end set of instructions and guidelines for the city to go by when they plan a new road or a road repair, for a new subdivision developer to plan with when he puts a subdivision in, for the school district to offer input in when they're if they're going to do an expansion, for the parks department to look at when they're putting in trails or new park property. But it can also be waived in certain instances when it's just not appropriate. That's the context sensitive aspect of things. There are areas in the city where you want to get something in, where something has to be built, and you don't necessarily want to put, you know, X amount of sidewalk per square foot has to be put in, that can be waived. But the ordinance up front means that when the county comes in, or the state comes in, and they say that 27th Street, for instance, has to be 45 or 50 miles an hour, you can wave an ordinance in front of their faces and say, well, in Franklin we have a complete streets ordinance that says in a commercial district that's within X amount of walking distance from residential areas, we keep the speed limit to 30. And then they will observe that because state law says that complete streets takes precedence over over the rules that that they put in place. When they look over all their projects for the entire state of Wisconsin, when the county is looking at the state of things, when the county is looking at different jurisdictions, they obviously are going to put more resources into the areas that are prepared for them, that already have an ordinance in place. And if you don't have an ordinance in place, you're the ones who get the quick and dirty and the enforced speed limit and the thing that may not be so well and so good for your plan in the future, but it gets their job done. So what we're asking for is, I guess, the council's blessing to take the Trails Committee, do the discussion and gathering of input, compile and report something that we can make into a ordinance that we bring back, the county council and hopefully pass with enough time so that we can have input when the county and state is sending roads through the city, and also improve connectivity for the differently abled, the elderly, the kids, and people who don't want to burn some gas. That's all I have.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Somebody turn the lights back on. John, I have a couple questions. For the ordinance in place, so if the DOT 27th Street plan to put in the road and expand it under the current practice, we said, well, we have this ordinance. Could they also say, well, we're not going through with the project?
I think that, can you hear me without the microphone?
Yeah.
I think, and this is just my supposition, you don't have any leg to stand on if you don't have an ordinance. If you have an ordinance, you at least have that leg to stand on. Now, if it comes down to, well, we're either going to do it this way and it's going to have X benefit for your community, or we're not going to do it at all, obviously that's, the Common Council is here to overrule complete streets in that instance. But if we're able to say to the county or the state, when you build this road through, when you do this improvement, we'd like you to observe our complete streets process, and they say, well, that's what we have to do. That's something we didn't have before.
If I could add to that, Mr. Mayor, Dave Thaw, I'm the chair of the Trails Committee. In my research on the state of Minnesota, how they've handled these kinds of situations, usually the state budgets money for a transportation project, such as a street or a county road, and they allocate those funds. Once those funds are allocated, it's very difficult to turn around and give that money back to the treasurer. And I don't know an engineer worth his salt who's going to take the money and give it back. But in the state of Minnesota, they do not stop the project. They have usually gone ahead because in the legislation, I believe in the state of Wisconsin legislation, it runs along the same time. It is talking about an authorized project must go ahead and deal with the city and listen to what the city has to say if they have a complete streets. Unless the city is completely unreasonable, and Franklin is never unreasonable.
Never.
But that's in Minnesota.
And to the state of Wisconsin, I mean, the legislation in the state of Wisconsin and the state of Minnesota is similar.
What I've experienced, and I think some of the aldermen that have sat up here for a while, when the 27th Street Corridor Project was first proposed, there was some cooperation. Well, there's always been cooperation with DOT on 27th Street, but slowly but surely, it's been cutting back and cutting back and cutting back. The same holds true with Milwaukee County. In fact, I would dare to say that if you asked some of the county supervisors whether they think 76th Street should be repaired, they would say no, it's not needed. We, on the other hand, have been advocating that road get put in place, and yet every year it just gets being put off and put off. So, you know, I just want to make sure that everybody stands. And we're talking about, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And it's not necessarily that they're DOT or the county is joyful to or coming forward to say, yeah, let's go build whatever we possibly can at the highest cost. It's just quite the opposite. We have a lobby. A number of us went down and lobbied for 76th Street and lobbied the DOT for the 27th Street. So, I guess the other question there's two questions. The road that goes into Pleasant View, you showed it several times.
Mm-hmm.
How have other communities handled complete streets when, let's say, the neighbors in that subdivision are against having sidewalks or widening of their roads?
Well, that one of the things that the support things that they give you is this whole idea that you don't bring a fait accompli to the community, which we've seen sort of happen in the past in Franklin, where it seems that a trail is all ready to go and the people there feel like it was done to them rather than with them. So a great deal of complete streets has to do with that early discuss and gather input time when people come to see why this is important, why it's a benefit, why other communities have benefited from this. If there are people who I've talked to on 51st Street in front of the high school where the sidewalk is in, who did not want a sidewalk put in front of their house. And they, you know, a tree might get displaced. I wouldn't like that either. I'm going to have people walking in front of here. Then when the sidewalk was put in and they saw it, and they saw that it actually enhanced the value of their property and the curb appeal of their property, you had people pretty happy with it. However, you can't simulate a whole sidewalk to show
people. You've got me totally on board with the complete streets, except that it would be how the ordinance is fashioned. And is it a discretionary ordinance versus one that is automatically in place? They go through, now I go through, after talking to you, I go through all these communities and I'm looking for complete streets. So. Shorewood and Whitefish Bay. I think Milwaukee, Wisconsin Avenue, they're even trying to put the complete streets in.
Well, if I may, one of the other things complete streets, in my mind, is an answer to is sort of the silo situation we have in Franklin, where there are different jurisdictions who are creating a path or a park, or the school is doing an expansion, but they don't interlock with one another. And had they known ahead of time and gotten together, they could have spent a tiny bit more to get an enormous return on it, or even pay a little less because there's a limited amount of funding and grants to go after. And if they go in it together, there are grants you can write when you're a complete streets community that you can't write if you're not. There are things you can go after if you're coordinating with the county trails, and we have a county trails person right on our trails committee. If you're coordinating with the school board, these are all things that we really, it's been, just to my experience, we haven't been doing that. We have some great trails. The Oak Leaf Trail is a great trail, but the fact that we had to build a parking lot for it, you know, that's, people give me the business about that all the time. And a scoring system. If you build a trail, it's 8 points if you connect it to a commercial area, and you get an extra 10 points if the other end is in a residential area. So that's 18 points. And then there's another trail you could put in, and there's really nothing on one end, but maybe there's a commercial area that's 8 points. So you've built the scale there. And these are things that right now we don't do. We just, we have these different silos of responsibilities.
Well, I know that I've been on Zillow and a number of other internet sites for real estate, and they do have this walkability factor. Mm-hmm. And it does seem to be something that makes a community more attractive to individuals. I guess if you were to select a street in Franklin where this should be a pilot project, or where we should put it, try and put in where the city actually has jurisdiction on it, you know, such as 51st or 68th, or, do you have any ideas which street that would be?
If I could, some of the places we've talked about are 76th Street down by Ryan Avenue. That intersection would be one that has some great potential for growth. 27th Street would be great. I think 27th Street is the face for Franklin on I-94. My fear is that 27th Street, if we get the speeds that the DOT is talking about, when I went to the meetings that I've been to with them, we're not going to have people stopping in Franklin. They're going to be whizzing through Franklin on the way to somewhere else. We need that kind of speed to slow down. It doesn't, like John has said, those are two of the streets I'd like to see. I think 27th Street is probably too late, but 76th Street is one, and Ryan Road would be another, that are both future projects. One that might be not the business development would be North Cape as well. That road, I think there's a certain alderman that would like to see that road fixed. I think there's a lot of opportunity with those. And again, once if we pass the ordinance, or if the council in there it chooses to pass that ordinance, I think that would give us some potential.
Well, I want to thank both of you. I know that it's a lot of time and effort that you put into this. Really well thought out. It was a great presentation. And I think probably I would recommend the council we try to move forward. Alderman Olson and then Alderman Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of things. First of all, on a personal note, this kind of conversation really is prime for committee of the whole. I understand if you have one, you may want to cancel, but it's really good for committee of the whole. Relative to 27th Street, the city's been at cross purposes philosophically on a singular issue with the state all along, and that's the speed limit south of Rossin Avenue. And frankly, the state isn't interested in slowing traffic down, just as you highlight. It's in our best interest to slow the traffic down there, both for business development and pedestrian safety. But that seems to me to be the only issue where the state has diverged from what I see as a complete streets program. They have requirements for sidewalks and trails and connectivity and all the rest of that stuff. So I don't want to make the state the bad guy in any of this, except for the speed limit on 27th Street. They've actually been pretty cooperative. But the projects, Mr. Fowler, that you've mentioned, all of them are not our projects, where we're under the thumb of either the county or the state. So, North Gate's a county road. 76th Street's a county road. 27th Street's a state road. So we got an issue there. This may be a worthwhile endeavor. I just want to pay close attention to what happens with the language of the ordinance in light of the fact that, frankly, we do take a look at complete streets when we try to redo a street. We always talk about sidewalks and crosswalks and things like that. It gets down to the real issue that we hear all the time. Everybody wants sidewalks on the other side of the street. So how do you get past that political aspect? And I think that's more of an issue that ought to be recognized by the Trails Committee than perhaps it already is. I'd say let's move forward, but take a close look at the ordinance when it comes in front of us.
Alderman Solomon?
First off, I'd like, as a member of the Trails Committee, I would like to thank Dave and John for their time. They're doing yeoman's work, and this philosophy really works. I just spent the last 5 days up in Minneapolis, in Chaplin, and the adjacent community of Maryville. One of the ways they have slowed traffic down is to get rid of traffic lights, and they put up roundabouts. It's very simple. Very simple way to slow down the traffic. Multiple roundabouts on the same road to keep the traffic moving. And you know what? They don't have to replace all these lights when they go down in the wintertime with people sliding them. It's very simple for maintenance. The one-time cost is there because you need a little more square footage to put that roundabout in. But it really works. The trails in some of these subdivisions are just awesome. Anything new requires a trail to a park. It's just fantastic. So I would like to move to allow the Franklin Trails Committee to pursue establishment of the complete streets and connectivity of everybody.
Is there a second?
Second.
And move to second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes. Ayes have it, motion carries. Congratulations.
Right. I think we just gave ourselves some more work.
Now, number two, authorization for the Trails Committee Chairman Fowler to letter of petition Congressman Paul Ryan expressing concerns as to the elimination of St. Robinson School program. Gabe brought this to my attention. I thought that this was a matter that the council needs to hear and needs to vote on. So, Gabe.
Basically, the transportation bill in front of the Congress and the Senate. It's been changing on a regular basis. Actually, when I wrote this letter, I believe the bill has now been split into three separate bills, and I apologize, I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I may have to amend the letter to include those bills. Basically, what the bill is doing, it's eliminating a lot of the funding for Safe Routes to Schools and some of the other, I think, grant programs and some of the emphasis on complete streets from the federal transportation budget, which really comes back to the locals can't get these funds. Safe Routes to School program is one of the programs that we can get funding for, small grants, in the $15 to $20,000, I believe, up to $200,000 for small construction projects to eliminate problems like the street down to Pleasant View, if we can get that, if we can apply for a grant like that and get it. If the money's completely taken out of the budget, those grants completely go away. And it offers us no opportunity to get, that's one funding stream that disappears. Now, I understand federal budgets are tight, but I think this is a small, less than, geez, I think it's less than 1% of the transportation budget. And I really would like to encourage Congressman Ryan, who has a lot of influence in the congressional offices, to just voice some people from his district that we are actually going to benefit from this Safe Routes to School. And I'd really like to see if he could think about putting some of that, not maybe not all of it, but put some of the funding back so we have at least an opportunity to go after some of that funding for the city of Franklin.
All right. Are you asking for a motion? Alderman Schmidt?
I'll move to authorize the Trails Committee Chairman to letter petition Congressman Paul Ryan expressing concerns as to the elimination of Safe Routes to School program funding, dedicated federal funding for pedestrian biking trails under the proposed H.R. 7 American Energy and Infrastructure Jobs Act of 2012.
The second, moved and seconded. Any further discussion, Mr. City Attorney?
Based on what Mr. Fowler said, I would say the proposed H.R. 7 as may have been amended.
Is that amenable to you, make a motion?
Yes, I'll amend my motion.
And you,
yes,
were wise. And wise. Alderman Olson.
Are you saying he's old?
No.
Not at all. There's a couple. This is going under Chairman Fowler's signature, correct?
Yes.
There's a couple of things in here that I would not have put in, but...
I will take any if you...
It's political.
Okay.
So don't worry about it.
Okay.
So let go on your name, not mine, it's okay.
Wait a minute, I like that.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, six ayes, no noes. I stand with motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
Let's see, item three, donation from the ladies. Is the motion approved? It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing them in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I stand with motion carries. Item four, recommendation of Police Chief Director of Public Services regarding the ordinance relating to dog bites. Police Chief, still here? By the way, I did get your message. Alderman Olson.
Well, while they're coming up, I'll get to start. This stems from about a year ago, a dog bite incident, about 2 years ago right now, in my district on 76th Street. My constituent had an issue with our definitions of vicious and incident. So a while back, we referred this to our esteemed staff members. And they came back with this particular modification. I don't see my constituent here to speak on this. He did receive all of the documents. There's a recommendation that I support in here. I said that.
Okay. Any other questions?
Motion?
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, unless Alderman Wilson would like to make the motion, I'll make the motion to accept option two. To direct the city attorney to review the recommendations by the police chief and health commissioner regarding Article 2 of the EU-9 keeping of issues in
our Second. We'll move and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I have the motion carries. Great job.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Nice presentation.
Live police trap at a half a mile from the intersection of West Hood Avenue and North O'Connell.
Your Honor. Yeah. Item 5, resolution authorizing officials to execute a private property filtration and inflow reduction funding agreement with the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District.
Move to approve.
Second.
And move to second. Any further discussion? Alderman Olson.
Didn't we do this a while back?
There was a presentation, very lengthy presentation by Jack. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I have it. Motion carries. Item 6, we did. Item 7, we did.
Okay.
Item 8. Item 8. Alderman Wilhelm.
Yes, motion to adopt the resolution awarding the bids for the 2012 bulk asphalt underbid materials in accordance with the city engineering department's recommendations, with any exceeding price changes to be brought to the attention of the council.
Second.
The move is seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilson.
I think I'd like to vote no, because chances of the first district receiving any of this by 2 minutes of trial are slim and none.
I would concur with the second district.
Oh, well, you know.
I would concur with the second.
Maybe that's the condition of your roads are so good.
I'm very happy we have before us. So.
We'll look for some new changes next year.
Yeah, definitely.
So those
who just are eliminated, they had their
chance. We need another explanation of how this is done that has nothing to do with it. We can't take credit for it.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. For second, any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, opposed. Six ayes, no nos. I have a motion that carries. Authorization of the Department of Public Works to sell miscellaneous
services. Move to approve.
Second.
Move to seconded. Alderman Solomon and I just reviewed all of the stuff, so I highly recommend it. It's been moved and seconded for discussion. Seeing that all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carried. Item G10, a resolution to amend the City of Franklin investment policy statement reserve and liquidity investments. Mr. Cal Patterson is with us.
This change in investment policy basically is a redefinition to combine the portfolios of the reserve and investment policies as one portfolio. It's got some technical reasons. As you move money from one side to the other side, the percentages that you've set up as control parameters either don't make any sense, or you by making the movement you go out of policy. There are some other changes in this agenda item, and I apologize to the council because I grabbed the wrong document, and the document that I was comparing to was the 2009 version, or the 2010 version, not the 2011. So some of these items that are on here that are marked 2011 were already approved by the council a year ago.
Under discussion, Alderman Olson.
Well, the only question is then, do we have the corrected document?
Yes.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, none nos. I say the motion is carried. Resolution to amend the investment policy statement for the City of Franklin Post Employment Benefits Trust.
All right, this is a parallel investment policy for the OPEB Trust. And the changes in here, again, are documented. They really have to do with just sharpening up some of the sentences and the phrasing in there so that we know that we mean what we mean, and it doesn't say things in two different places that I did find that were slightly contrary. So it's pretty much definitional, again, other than the 2011 items.
Move to approve.
Second. Move and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no nos. I have the motion carries. Item 12, ordinance to amend ordinance 2011-20-2023, an ordinance adopting the 2012 budgets and tax levy of the City of Franklin to approve budget encumbrances from the 2011 budget to the 2012 budget. Mr. Pax.
Each year we present items that were ordered in the prior year, were not delivered by the end of the year, so they can't really be charged to that year's budget. So we move the budgets for those items, provided they had a significant budget available, to the following year. This is probably the lowest that I've seen in the years that I've been here, so there's $17,000 in budgetary encumbrances that are being recommended to be moved from 2011 to the 2012 budget.
Is the motion approved? Or
second.
That moves a second. Under discussion, Alderman Olson.
I certainly can't let the agenda item go by without comment.
No.
The question is what are the two departments going to do with the underage? Are they going to just take it out of their own budget someplace? The DBW short $2,700.
Yes.
And the fire department a whopping $162.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no nos. I have the motion carries. 2013 budget preparation.
Move the budget timetable for 2013.
Second. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have the motion carries.
I'll talk about that.
Item 14, award contract and low bidder for the City Hall condenser, Mr. LeVert.
This item and the one following it have to do with moving forward the $142,800 that the city received from the federal.
Hold on one second. I'm sorry.
On the prior item, November 6th is the presidential election. Yeah. It's entirely up to the council what they wish to do. I just thought I would mention that.
Can I amend it to make that be, could we do it the next day? That would be,
so you can make a separate motion.
Separate motion to move. Do we have to have the public hearing separate from the?
No.
No. So we can keep the public hearing on that Monday and then the county council on that Wednesday. Then I'll make a motion to move the adoption of the annual budget to November 7th on Wednesday.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Olson.
Continuing issue that I have with our budget process is there's potential modifications of the budget during the budget hearing, and then the next night we vote on it. I would like to see this put out a week so that if there are changes made, at least they can get a little bit of publicity and the constituents can know what's going on. It always seemed to me that we ram our budgets through, even though we've got lots of effort here.
I don't have a problem postponing to the next. You're talking the next county council meeting, or that would probably get the
probably won't do it a week later.
If we do it a week later, it'd be fine. 2 weeks probably is a problem. I wouldn't do it. Potentially a problem because the calendar's a little later this year.
We're gonna have a standalone special session by here. Okay, I'll make a motion. I will draw my motion. Make a motion to move it to Tuesday, November 13th.
Is there a second?
Second.
Move second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Six ayes, one no. The motion carries. Mr. Liberta.
Again, this is money from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. We were previously authorized to submit grant opportunities. You may recall we already completed a project for LED lighting in the parking lots, the front of the building, and the street behind City Hall. These are the remaining two projects. One is, and that's the subject of this one, an HVAC condenser air handling unit. It was bid out. The low bid was J&H Heating for $52,490. We did, in order to try and save some money, we did build into the RFP that we could direct purchase the equipment with the low bidder, and by doing so, and by then doing an advance payment with Trane, which was the mechanical provider, we saved the sales tax and some direct discount, which saves about $1,600 to the project. So there's two motions recommended to approve the low bidder, authorize the contracts, and then the second one to authorize the direct purchase of the mechanical equipment from Trane. And the specifics of them are spelled out for you in the motion.
Alderman Solomon.
Motion to approve the low bidder of J&H Heating for the total lump sum bid amount of $29,508.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a second motion?
Point of information, just to make sure that if the motion included the authorization to execute the contracts and related documents.
That was my motion.
Okay. And second?
Second,
all right. Second motion, a motion to approve direct purchase of the HVAC mechanical equipment as specified in the bid of J&H Heating from Trane USA Inc. for $21,770 less $400 in early payment incentives, and authorize the mayor to execute a purchase order to that effect. The funding made available through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The move seconded our discussion. Alderman Olson.
Does this amount include the freight to get it here?
Yes, it's FOB to actually directly to the J&H. And J&H is going to do some work there, and their contract requires them to bring it here. We've got staging set up, so it covers everything.
Okay. Well, without getting into legal argument, FOB is a title transfer, period. It's not shipping costs.
Yeah, and yes. It includes shipping and...
That's fine. Answer your question.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 15, award of contract to low responsive bidder for the City Hall window replacement and energy upgrade project. Mr. Levert.
This replaces the windows that basically run around City Hall from the mayor's office around the south over to and including the hearing room and the floor below, which would be Jack and Ron's windows. They're old single pane windows that have had a plate put over them, and this enables us to replace them all. Because the other projects went a little bit over budget, we do end up needing to have approximately $4,040 of the city money to complete this project. But it's definitely worthwhile. Cal recommends that we just use fund balance in the capital outlay fund so that he can account for it and depreciate all the costs appropriately and have it all in one area.
Alderman Olson?
Well, I'm curious how we arrived at the decision that Traco windows were not responsive, even though they weren't in the bid. In other words, how did we select the windows that we bid? And can you justify that selection against the Traco product, which would save us 10% and half of our deficit?
Yeah, we. In order to ensure we had the right windows, we did do a hire an architect to come in and evaluate the windows, make sure they designed very careful specifications. And one of the issues we talked about, in part to make sure the project could move forward very timely, was: is this open to every window manufacturer in the world? How? Because there's a real deadline here. It was part of it. So it was determined in the bid document to provide three common window providers regularly used in this area by school districts, post office for re-windowing projects. And in that way, we went with the recommendation of the consultant architect that they were three commonly used windows, and that we weren't looking to open it up to every North American window provider, but we could keep competition, so that was built into the document.
Okay, I understand that, but we are talking 10%, $2,000, and it's only one additional bidder. You know, specs are specs, but playing the specsmanship game doesn't always come to the benefit of the customer, and I think this may be one of those circumstances.
Yeah, but as you say, specs are specs, and it's only one. But if we had said, bid any window you want, just try and generally meet these, who knows how many bids you would have had. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. We anticipated more bids than we received. We did get... I think 12 bid packets taken out. So we had a lot of activity, a lot of people visit. The architect believes that the size of the project with the federal requirements for wage rates and the bid bond requirements is probably what caused us to only have about a quarter of the people who took out documents actually submit a bid.
Those projects bonded too?
Yes.
Yeah.
And federal wage rate determination on it too. Davis Bacon.
Davis Bacon, Buy American.
Jacket up there.
Okay.
It did.
Oh, look at
we had to.
Alderman Taylor.
Well,
you could have probably bought this.
Alderman Taylor, you have the floor.
Well, in the second paragraph, second sentence, it says, the grants provided through the stimulus funding made available through the American Recovery Reinvestment Act of 2009. I wonder why. Cost probably double on whatever it is. So we know why we're getting it, but it's costing us more than it should, or costing the United States, the taxpayers, that more than it should. One quick question. Are these windows open and closed, or they're all solid? Huh?
Solid.
Oh. So you know we're opening the windows and getting fresh air in this place, huh?
We haven't just been able to do that anyhow.
Not at all? Not open? Not even open, maybe, anyway? I asked the question, did any of them open before, or no, they've never opened?
Well,
so some of them did before the second pane was put over them well over a decade ago.
Okay.
So that's why you can go in the hearing room and see the window there, and you can open it, but if you reach in, there's another piece of glass.
There's no opening.
Yeah.
Alderman Wilhelm?
I was going to ask the same question. I don't know why we wouldn't want to have a couple of them that open.
Yeah, the HVAC system is supposed to push fresh air to meeting all the building standards. And
I wouldn't need to run the AC if you open the windows on this day.
No, because you don't get proper air exchange
right.
To meet building code.
It's a humidity aspect.
Yeah.
Alderman Solomon.
Motion to confirm staff's determination of the bid by Software Light Window Company is non-responsive to approve the lowest responsive bidder, Wonder White Glass Company, for a total lump sum bid amount of $22,514 for the window replacement at City Hall project using stimulus funding made available through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 to authorize execution of the contract and related documents by the appropriate city officers and to authorize the use of approximately $4,400 of available fund balance from the capital outlay fund.
$4,040.
Are you
sure? Second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? They go on vacation and come back like this. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, I say aye. The motion is carried. And then they move. Let's see. Item 16, reschedule committee of the whole.
I'll make the motion to reschedule three calls.
April 3rd.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded under discussion. Alderman Olson.
We're moving from the second to the third?
No.
I have on here rescheduled committee of the whole meeting from April 2nd and town council meeting on April 3rd.
Oh, the fourth.
Mr. Mayor, I think it's
the fourth.
Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
When I used to chair committees here a long time ago, made it a point to make sure that the committees met on the nights they were assigned, because that gives predictability to your constituents. Now, you moved the committee, you moved in a common council meeting one night this past month, out of a whim. Well, excuse me, I was out there. That was a little unorthodox. So, okay. Be careful here. I understand the need for the election and the clerk's time. But is it necessary that we move the council and could we have some other clerk service here and maintain our normal schedule? And the only reason I say that, there's two reasons I say that. One is it provides consistency for our constituents. The other one is it provides consistency for us. I can say no. I don't know. I'm just one guy.
Actually, I was not the one who put the rescheduling of the prior election on the agenda that was requested by some of the aldermen. So, to whatever I report to all of you and the mayor, so whatever you choose is fine with me. It's your decision. I believe there were other reasons why it might have been rescheduled other than because of the clerk.
Well, my final statement, if we change something, I would not move both meetings. I'd move the council back for Monday night. At least it would be relatively consistent.
And that would be acceptable as well. I guess when I supported the moving of the last one, it was in light of so many changes with the election that I thought we were trying to get for her, because she needed all the staff that she possibly had for this new changes that were coming in, and Jody was have a few people that she could count on and knew, you know, the process and could help her out. And I think, you know, that was the consideration there. And I think it might be a real similar thing with this first April election, which should be, will probably be pretty big. So that was the thought behind that. But I could amend my motion if you are new to the economy. That's fine.
We'll hold on Monday.
What would the date be?
Second.
Okay, is that amenable to everyone? Looks like it. Is there a second? Second to the motion?
No, they both have the same.
Is there a second to the
second?
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Item 17, who's handling this for now?
I certainly can.
Is it
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Move to authorize the operating price as.
Okay. The question I was going to say, there's a motion that's been made and seconded under discussion, Mr. City Attorney.
I believe the motion would be a motion to approve the offering price for parcel number one, located at 6771 South 51st Street for the Multi-Use Trail construction on the west side of South 51st Street from 1,075 feet north of West Rawson Avenue, West Princeton Avenue, as presented in the appraisal of the report completed by Single.
That's your motion, Alderman Olson?
We've been working together so long, you can read my mind.
Who is the second?
Second.
The move is seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, one no. I have a motion carries. Mr. Haskins, I'm guessing that might be why you were hanging around here. Item H1.
I really like vouchers.
Yeah, it's pretty thrilling. Alderman Solomon.
Brzezinski approved. Dunstan approved. Huffer approved. Kimtop denied. Recommended. Iowa reporting habitually done it off. Klein approved. Seiki denied.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the seat by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I have the motion carries. You now have vouchers. Number is 141915 through 142072 in front of you. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson?
Yes.
Alderman Solomon?
Yes.
Alderman Wilcox?
Yes.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Spence?
Aye.
Five yeses. Six ayes, one no. I have a motion carried. You now have the payroll of February 24th, 2012 in front of you. Is there a motion to approve?
Yep.
Is there a second?
Aye.
The move. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Brown.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye, yeah, yes.
Alderman Olson.
You bet. Not a yes, you must. So. Six ayes, no noes. Nice habit. Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
No.
Second, any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I have a motion carries for your
forget your.